from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
How about it? Off and rolling on a Thursday, June 27, 2024. Zach Edey is a Grizzly. Jalen Wells, as of about 5 minutes ago, is a Grizzly from Washington State. We'll break him down in just a moment. But welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, Gabe Kuhn on X at G underscore Kuhn 71. I'm alongside a guy you've been hearing all day. That would be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning 99. Connor, how's it hanging, brother?
What's up, man?
Yeah, man. How are you? Where are you at? You feel good?
I'm a little dizzy.
Okay. All right.
Where's my Four Loco? You told me you were bringing me a 2013 Four Loco.
The throwback Four Loco. 200 milligrams of caffeine.
How the hell did we survive?
8% alcohol. I don't know how we did.
Pure adrenaline.
Some people didn't, actually, through that process.
That is actually true.
That's the bad part of this whole thing. But we have 2 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. You know where we're opening up. We're talking about 7'4", Zach Edey, coming off the board at number 9 to the Memphis Grizzlies. All of the rumors about trading up for Donovan Clingan may or may not have been true. Zach Kleiman said that this is exactly how they hoped it would shake out. You can choose to believe that or not. But we do believe one thing. Zach Edey is set to play a relatively large role in the front court for the Memphis Grizzlies headed in to next year. Now, as far as the show layout, a little different today with our 2 hours. First hour, no guests, but we will open on Zach Edey, talk about the Grizzlies, talk about the NBA draft, and then we'll get into the Blitz in the bottom half of the hour. And in the Blitz today, we're going to escape the NBA draft talk for just a moment. We'll get back to it starting at 5, I promise. But we'll talk about a miss on the recruiting trail for Memphis basketball. Arthur Kaluma is committed elsewhere. He committed to Texas today. We have Team USA basketball. They ended up reporting, and there's a notable name there that did not play in the NBA playoffs. It shouldn't be surprising. It really sort of feels on brand for this guy, but Kawhi Leonard showed up to Team USA and their training camp. So we'll talk about that. And then Memphis offense, did you see this? Did you see this?
EA
Sports College Football 25. I think the rating is less impressive than actually where they're rated, as opposed to everybody else on the game. But Memphis offense came in at number 19 on EA Sports College Football 25. Their overall rank is an 85, but they came in at number 19, right there with SMU. So we'll talk through that. Well, they're both 85s.
But we are ranked 19.
And they put them at 20.
Suck it.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. But their overall rank is 85. We'll talk through that. As far as guests are concerned, they are going to bless our second hour. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins from the Jeff Calkins Show and the Daily Memphian. He's a columnist there. Worthy of discussion. We'll talk about Zach Edey. We'll talk about the NBA draft. We'll talk about all that. And then, of course, at 5:30, very, very excited. Super excited to bring him on. I think he's done a phenomenal job putting up his big board and breaking down this NBA draft. He's had some good takes about Zach Edey and what he'll mean for the Grizzlies in year one. But Chip Williams Jr., he'll be joining. NBA draft analyst for Bluff City Media. Seriously, if you have not already checked it out, check out some of his work. It is absolutely phenomenal. Obviously, working relatively independent here in the city of Memphis for years, he does a phenomenal job.
Incredible. He's great at it.
And then at the end of the show, we'll get out with small talk, and we'll wrap up the show that way. Now, before I get into Zach Edey at number 9, I have a couple of things, overall takes about the draft. The normal take of let's get the hat thing figured out. Can we please, for the love of everything holy, figure out the hat thing? Before I came in to talk to you guys, I'm watching the NBA draft, and Juan Nunez is traded to the Spurs, right? And they like him, 6'5 guard, foreign guy. But he's wearing his Pacers hat. And then his post-draft interview, he's talking to ESPN, and they ask, what do you expect to bring to the Pacers? And I don't necessarily think that is fully on the interviewer, but he's going to the Spurs. He's not going to help the Pacers even in the slightest. Can we figure that the hell out? We had less problems with that in round one because we didn't have that many trades, but it immediately reared its ugly head in round two. And then my other take, and this is very obvious if you just sort of pay attention, France is taking over the NBA draft. France. The country of France. 3 of the top 6 picks were Frenchmen. You had Zachary Risasse, Alexander Char, and what is his name? I try to
Saloon?
Yeah, Tijane Saloon.
Saloon?
Yeah, so 3 of the top 6 picks are from France. I wonder how that goes. I think that that, more so than an actual indictment of how we develop talent here through the AAU ranks in the United States, I think it just shows that there is a escape from trying to take a bunch of top-end talent out of the United States from the front offices. They clearly have a warped view of how we're developing prospects in the United States of America for whatever reason. And I understand it over the years. When you look at the foreign game, these guys have a lot more, what's the word for it? They're just way more fundamental-based, I think, in the end of the day. Even though you look at, was it Saloon, I think he was nine points per game, 6 rebounds per game, or Zachary Risasse was right around there as well, and he was the number one pick overall. Obviously, I want to see how all this ages. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see these three of the top 6 picks from France, foreign guys. We know that foreign players are starting to take over the NBA. But I want to see how this ages, ultimately, because this could be a very telling draft in that regard. Are these guys going to get GMs fired, or are they going to keep GMs on because they actually play really well in the National Basketball Association? Time will tell.
Yeah, the only one that I think could potentially get somebody fired is Charlotte taking Saloon at 6, because that one was just kind of like, I feel like you could have gotten that guy anywhere, and that's why there's a bit disappointment.
And when it comes to Charlotte trying to develop a young guy,
right,
with sort of what they have on the roster right now, I'm a little concerned with what's going on.
I think that Risasse and Sarr have shown enough to where, at the very least, they're going to be okay NBA players. That's the thing about this draft, is it's
but
just,
they better be. They were picked 1 and 2,
right?
Connor.
Right. Like, but are we expecting, because they went 1 and 2, for them to be superstars? That's the thing with this draft, is that I don't think any of us expect these guys to be superstars, but we expect them to be good role players. It feels like the good role player draft with a potential star, because I think that Sarr and Holland, they have a chance to be those guys that could turn into stars. Maybe Zach Edey, you know, they have a shot at it. But at the end of the day, I think it's fair to predict that this is going to be mostly a draft of guys who are good to very good.
Yes. When you hear sort of the thought process from a lot of these front offices on what they thought of this draft, they were looking to find role players. Obviously, at the top of the draft, you want to take a couple of swings. There's a couple of swings out there worth mentioning. Ron Holland at number 5. to the Pistons.
I love it.
I don't mind it. I want them to take a swing.
They need to stink next year.
But now you have a Thompson twin and him, and it's going to be interesting to see how that all works out. I don't know if they can both play on the floor at the exact same time, but I like to see them take a swing. But at the top of this draft, it was either you're trying to find a role player ready to win now, or you are truly just going to take that swing. And then we'll see. I think the back half of this draft, it's similar depth to every single year.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some diamonds in the rough from this draft, as bad as we think this draft is on its surface. Now let's get into it. The Grizzlies take Zach Edey out of Purdue at number 9. Two-time Naismith Player of the Year. He is about as accomplished a player coming out of college. Probably the most accomplished player coming out of college that the Grizzlies have ever taken, Connor. Is that fair to say? Two-time Naismith Player of the Year brought Purdue, who had never really reached these types of heights, you know, in the current day, in the modern day, brought them to a national championship last year with, again, I heard John Martin talk about it earlier, with you and me playing on the wing, right? With you and me playing in the backcourt. But I did think Jake Fisher, who was out there, he had some struggles last night, didn't he?
Tough night.
He had reported that the Grizzlies traded Charlotte slot to number 6 to potentially take Donovan Clingan. He also reported, he was getting bad intel all night. He also reported that Miami was selecting Jared McCain.
Yeah, put the phone 15. Down. At some point, just put the phone down and walk away.
It ended up being Kelly O'Leary. Let Shams and Woes handle that stuff. You do the commentary, Jake. It's fine. I like your work for the most part, but the intel you're getting was relatively bad last night. But I did think that they were being aggressive to trade up, to try to go get Donovan Clingan. Nothing just came to fruition.
It's right.
Just sort of what happened was, we saw a report yesterday saying if they strike out on trying to trade up for Donovan Clingan and they don't make that happen, Edey's going to be sitting there at number 9 and they feel confident in that. That's ultimately exactly how it went.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that they went into the draft telling themselves that they want one of two guys. They wanted Donovan Clingan or Zach Edey. Donovan Clingan, it is clear to me that they tried to get him. I'm not sure why the deal fell through with Charlotte, but it sounds like that maybe they wanted too much, or they decided, okay, we're just going to stick with Edey here. But they decided, okay, we got to take Zach Edey at number 9. And that's why, ultimately, in this type of draft, if you go into it and you say, this is my guy, and you get one of those guys, I'm okay with it. I understand that some people are saying, well, they reached the value at 9 and this, that, and the other. Well, we've also gotten reports today, though, that Utah likes Zach Edey. We've got reports that OKC likes Zach Edey, that Miami likes Zach Edey. So I'm not sure if there were opportunities for them to trade back. So I am perfectly fine with them taking Zach Edey at number 9. I also think that we've got to be honest about, the Grizzlies were not a normal lottery team. They are a team that is going to be back in the playoffs. They have their stars already in place. It's not like one of these lottery teams drafting Zach Edey and saying, this is going to be our guy. The Grizzlies took Zach Edey and said, you need to be our 7th or 8th guy. And that's how they're going to operate with him moving forward. He is going to be playing a role for the Memphis Grizzlies. He doesn't have to be a star. He doesn't have to be 20-10. I said he's got to be like 8-10, and we're going to be fine with that. Play 20, 25 minutes, get you to the end of the fourth quarter. Jaren and BC can come in to close the game. I'm okay with it. I am cautiously optimistic. He does have a few things that we've got to talk about.
Sure.
But ultimately, he checks those boxes for
the Grizzlies. There's some very glaring concerns that we have to approach, but I think that we can talk ourselves through them by the time we get to Summer League and ultimately into season. Now, let's start with the good things. He's accomplished as hell. This is a guy who won 2 Naismith Players of the Year back-to-back years, one of the very few guys in college basketball who's ever been able to accomplish that. His last 2 years in college, 22.3 points per game and 12.9 rebounds per game, and then last year 25.2 points per game and 12.2 rebounds per game. He's a great screen setter. He's very decent at helping at the rim defensively. 2.1 blocks per game in 2.1 in 22-23, 2.2 in 23-24. So he can help in regards to that, and playing next to Jaren Jackson Jr. certainly, I think, will help there. So he's a very productive guy on top of it. And I think you addressed your most glaring need. It's as simple as that. You addressed your most glaring need with a 7'4", 300-pound behemoth. And what do you need him to do? Set screens, rebound, and maybe take a lob or two, finish at the rim. He's one of the most, one of the best play finishers in this entire draft. Don't forget about that. He not only did he have high volume, some guys will have high volume and they don't finish as much. This guy had a lot of volume and shot 62% from the field last year. And he can also, he's very good at drawing fouls, and he's a decent free throw shooter. I mean, from the free throw line last year, 71%. Even for a 7'4" guy, you're not used to that type of thing. So I think he addresses an immediate need. I think also, I know his play style is going to have to morph by the time, and that's going to be a concern we talk about in a second. He's going to have to morph when he gets to the Grizzlies, into the NBA. But he provides a different look that the Grizzlies haven't really had. I guess Jonas Valanciunas as a play finisher, decent in the post. Yeah, he gave you that to a certain extent. But I think he gives you a little bit, if you're projecting, maybe the best of both worlds of Steven Adams
he's
and Jonas.
Somewhere in the middle of those two guys. As a prospect.
Because I think he's gotten better at passing out of the post. If you listen to Matt Painter, he was talking to Gary Parrish on Grind City Media earlier today. He said, you're going to be surprised with his athleticism first, and you're going to be surprised he really can pass out of the post. He had to work on it. He was not good at it at first. But he eventually got that to be a part of his bag. So I think he is one of those guys where you throw him on the floor and it makes the other team have to decide what they're going to run out there, right? That's something that I don't know if the two previous bigs the Grizzlies had. Like Jonas Valanciunas and Steven Adams, they get played off the floor. We understand that, but I don't know if they morph the thought process for other coaches in regards to what they were putting on the floor. Zach Edey's so good around the rim, so good at finishing, you're going to have a big in there with him, unless you're going complete small ball and trying to drag him out to the perimeter, which we'll talk about in a second. And then I think this is something that I talked about throughout the process. He's a Grizzlies guy. I mean, let's think about it. Desmond Bane, 3-4 year guy, highly productive. Didn't really help you with the measurements. Not a lot of people felt good about his arm length. What did he turn into? Brandon Clark, 3 or 4 year guy, pretty short arms. He's worked out relatively well. I know that these things didn't really work out, but David Roddy and Jake LaRavia, 3 or 4 year guys, highly productive. He just fits alongside with what the Grizzlies and Zach Climate have done in their era of going and finding highly productive guys that have been in college. They don't really care about the age. They want products that they can bring into the league that translate into their system, their roster, almost seamlessly. And I think, for the most part, they found that. And then also, he's cost-controlled. That's the most obvious thing about taking a big in the first round. 4 years of team control where he's not going to be paid a whole lot of money. Now, let's get to the concerns. He's slow afoot. He's not that fast of a foot, although he did test a lot better at the NBA Combine than we thought he would, running the floor, doing the lane drill. He was relatively solid, but he's slow-footed, and defensively is where we want to highlight. The inefficiencies or the deficiencies he may have on the defensive end are a frustrating reality. He's not going to be a guy you want switching onto premier scorers in this league. You're going to play him in drop coverage mostly. But I do think he is 7'4", recovering at 7'4" with a 7'11" wingspan. It's helpful. It really is helpful, regardless how slow-footed you are. But I do think, ultimately, he will be a guy, if he's on the floor for the Memphis Grizzlies, he will be hunted down by opposing offenses if they have a premier score. They're going to try to get him into a switch. They're going to try to get him into the pick and roll. How does he handle that going into the NBA? That's going to be my first real question with him. How is he going to morph his game to be able to handle that? Now, talking about morphing his game, offensively inclined, we get that, 62% from the field last year, 25 points per game. But did you watch how Purdue played? Very slow, very methodical. Throw it into the blender. Here's Zach Edey. Catch, throw up a baby hook. That's not what he's going to do with the Grizzlies. Now, we have seen him at Purdue completely morph his game into what he was, two-time National Player of the Year his last 2 years. He started his career 8.7 points per game, 4.4 rebounds per game, ended his career 25.2 points per game, 12.2 rebounds per game. I do think that if you're worried about him fitting in at the NBA level, I think that you're a little bit misguided. He knows he's not going to be used like he was at Purdue. He's got Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr. on the same team as him. He's not going to be a focal point offensively. I think based on what we've seen from this guy, a guy that was doubted, a guy that couldn't get a scholarship from Rick Barnes at Tennessee, a guy who completely morphed his game, got better and better every single year, added to his bag. I think that this offseason, going into his first year in the NBA, I think he can do something similar. And then the year after that, and then the year after that. I think this is a guy who has a good head on his shoulders, seems to be a good teammate, and he will find a way to fit in with the Memphis Grizzlies relatively well.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Every single time you were talking about either a positive of his or a minus of his, you kept bringing up the fit with the Memphis Grizzlies. And ultimately, I think that's what it comes back to, is you've seen across the league when people have been grading this, other than Yahoo, they seem to like the fit with the Memphis Grizzlies because of the guys that are going to be around him. You know what's going to help him on the defensive end? Playing next to Jaren Jackson yep. Jr. and Marcus Smart and Vince Williams Jr. and Desmond Bane, who's underrated, and Brandon Clark. They have guys around him that can help teach him the game of basketball. He's going to have to get used to the speed of it, absolutely. But he's pretty damn good in drop coverage, and that's something that Jonas Valanciunas just couldn't figure out, for the love of God, how to do. Yep. He could not do that, and that is why Jonas was no longer a Memphis Grizzly. Now, you hope that he can give you some of what Steven Adams did. I just think that this expectation of him coming in to be Steven Adams immediately is unfair to him. He's going to take a little bit to get used to the NBA game, because like you said, he can't play back to the basket like he was doing at Purdue. But Painter, in that interview, talked about how he would do what Purdue needed him to do. And I think that one thing that is encouraging is his passing ability. His passing yep. ability from year three to year four was a huge improvement, and it was one of those main reasons Purdue was able to get to the national championship game, because he was getting doubles thrown at him, and he figured out a way to play make a little bit, and that's where the higher IQ of Zach Edey comes in. I also think he gives a damn, and it yeah. matters. I understand that you can't really put that
loves
on paper.
Basketball.
There's no numbers there, really, but he cares. He's going to come in. He's going to try to prove people wrong. You know he's going to work hard, and that's why these whole the beat comps drive me insane.
This is where I wanted to go
the
next.
Beat sucked at basketball. He was just tall, and he didn't care.
This is
he's
where,
the opposite of Zach
this
Edey.
This is where I wanted to go next. There were three things that I saw out there on the socials from people that just I didn't really understand. One was the to beat to Zach Edey comps.
Crazy.
No, that's ridiculous. We're talking about a guy who was Naismith Player of the Year.
Two times.
We're talking a guy who was way more productive than Hasheem Thabeet when he was in college. And I don't even know where you draw those comparisons, quite frankly.
Tall.
Just because they're tall, that doesn't
That's
mean
it.
Much.
Tall.
I understand that Zach Edey, like in this day and age, is seemingly like he's an extinct type prospect.
He's Bigfoot.
He is a guy who in the early 2000s and the 90s and the 80s would have been the first pick off the board.
Without a doubt.
But now it feels like, damn, in 2024, you're really going to go get the slow-footed 7'4" Zach Edey with the number 9 pick, with a top 10 pick. I understand what that feels like, but the Hasheem Thabeet thing is absolutely ridiculous. The second part was, oh, he's not going to be able to keep up with Ja Morant when they start running the floor. Yeah, Jonas Valanciunas and Steven Adams didn't either. No 7-footer can keep up with Ja Morant on the break.
Hey, Gabe.
I hate to bring it up to you that way.
Let's take out
but
the 7-footer qualifier. How many people in general can keep up with Ja Morant?
Nobody. And that's not what you're getting him for. What
right.
you're getting him for is to help you half-court offensively.
Exactly.
Screen setting.
Exactly.
Finishing at the rim. Rolling to the rim, helping Ja Morant, that's what you need him for. To talk about him getting out on the break, I think you're completely missing the point. That's not what he did at Purdue. That's not what anyone thought he could do. And then think about Donovan Clingan, the other guy that people seem to be in love with. You think he's keeping up with Ja Morant on a break? Hell no! He was slower in the full court or the three-quarter court dash than Zach Edey was at the NBA Combine. So there's no big that's above 7 foot that's keeping up with Ja Morant on a damn break. And then the third thing, and this just blows my mind.
Go in,
because
Gabe. It
takes a Google search to
Go
realize
Gabe.
This. People saying, oh, well, he's going to have to get into better play shape. You're just saying that because he's 7'4", 300 pounds. You are ignoring what is out there statistically about his game. He is one of the most in-shape bigs and was one of the most in-shape bigs in college basketball last year. He played 32 minutes per game his junior and senior year. There's only 40 minutes a game in a college game. Just so we're clear, he played just about three quarters of every single game for Purdue last year. I don't know about him. He doesn't need to be in that. Compared to what he was, he doesn't need to get his shape up that much. It's just normal offseason program. Make sure you stay in shape. Because we understand that 7'4" guys at 300 pounds, sometimes their career with injuries and with being out of shape can be shortened.
It's a fair.
But this seems like a guy that has gone out of his way to be as in shape as possible. And he's not going to have to give you the 32 minutes per game that he gave at Purdue. You're going to ask this guy, especially as a rookie, probably for 18 to 25 minutes per game at most. I don't know where that concern comes from. It takes a quick Google search to understand that that's not that much a concern with this guy. He loves basketball, and he has shown that he can stay in shape and play for extended minutes.
And that's why the Zach Edey conversation, just keep it within perspective. They are not drafting this guy with the expectation. We had some callers call in earlier on Jason and John. They were like, he's going to be Hakeem. And it's like, I love the energy.
Okay, relax. I love the passion.
Maybe not. Maybe he's not going to be arguably the best center of all time. And then somebody else called in and was like, Duncan. And I was like, they were like, he's the new big fundamental. And it's like, that's very exciting. Probably not.
Yeah.
If he is something of a combination of Jonas and Steven Adams, when he develops, that's really good for the Memphis Grizzlies. He doesn't have to come in and be a superstar. I've seen some people out there saying that they've seen Grizz Twitter and fans and media say that he's going to come in and be an all-star or a superstar. And it's like, I'm also going
to
be honest, I haven't seen that whatsoever. It feels like that might be a couple of people. I think most have a pretty good perspective on Zach Edey. It is a worthwhile risk to take. And at the end of the day, he just needs to be your seventh or eighth best guy. He's going to be.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I want to provide for you what the Memphis Grizzlies desperately need right now. That's size in the paint, it's rebounding, and it's elite screen setting. He is really good at screen setting, and John Martin has been beating this drum. What are the pick and rolls going to look like when he has a guy like Ja Morant and not you and me out there throwing him lobs? He's going to have a legitimate point guard. Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be able to roam now on the defensive end, and I am very excited to see what his numbers are going to look like, because we know that Jaren's best defensive years have been with a big like Zach Edey.
Yeah.
And he's going to help you in the half-court game. He gives you a different pitch. A lot of people over the last few years have criticized the Grizzlies because they do want to get out and run, and that's how they've been getting into their offense mostly. Zach Edey gives you a different pitch that you can throw people. It's a different look that you can throw at people. And we've also discussed in the Western Conference,
you need
a big body that can bang around with people, and that's what Zach Edey, in theory, will be able to do. They did not draft this guy to be a perennial NBA All-Star. I don't even know if he's going to make the All-Rookie first team. It's far too early to be having conversations like that. If he can come in next year, rebound the basketball, set screens, and defend the rim at a pretty good level, that's going to be a success and play most of the games.
If he can come in and set screens and rebound,
that's really how you need him to do.
Isn't that almost like it's a given with him? He's 7'4", 300 pounds, and he's shown that he can do that at a very high level. Even against some of the best talent in college basketball. I mean, he played Tennessee twice, played against UConn, gave Donovan Klingon 37-10 in the national championship game.
I looked it up. You know what he put on Khalil Ware?
What?
26-13.
So, like, if you're wondering about his projection against, you know, NBA caliber bigs, he's shown that before.
Right.
Obviously, he's going to be used in a different way.
Absolutely.
But he still rebounded at a high level, did a good job of protecting the paint, and finished around the rim relatively well.
Not relatively well, Gabe.
Very well.
You know what he shot around the rim? 75% at the rim. Because one of the things that a lot of young bigs do poorly is they drop the basketball when it gets thrown into them.
One of the pluses
with Zach Edey helps that he's 7'4", but he keeps the ball high, so he's not letting people swipe at him. I think that it's going to take him some time to get used to the NBA speed, the NBA physicality, but a 7'4", 300-pound guy who moves pretty well, I'm willing to take a risk on him, even if you want to call it a risk. I just think that the fit makes a lot of sense for the Memphis Grizzlies. It is clear that they tried to trade up and get their guy Donovan Klingon. They weren't able to get him, so they took their second guy. They're never going to come out and say, oh, we got our backup plan. Of course they're not going to say that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you didn't have to give up any assets. You kept Marcus Smart, and you still have flexibility, and now you have roster flexibility with those bigs. I think we can all agree that the Memphis Grizzlies still have some work to do. Jalen Wells is a really solid pick. It's a potential guy that can help you out later on. We'll get to him in just a moment here, but I like what they have done. We just know now, okay, go try to find a veteran big.
That's the other part of this.
Zach Edey. Maybe try to find some length on the perimeter. Figure out what you're going to do with Luke Kennard. I would still like to see Lamar Stevens come back. You got to also get off of guys like Conchar and Zaire. There is still work to be done, but this is a good first step in the Grizzlies offseason.
Now that the Zach Edey thing has dropped, you're going to have to go find a big who I think complements him relatively well. Go find a guy who can switch a little bit better on the perimeter. Doesn't have to be 7'4" behemoth. Just find a big that you feel comfortable with running out there consistently,
maybe
a little bit more athletic. But I think they're going to have opportunities to do that, free agency or trade market, what have you. Now, Jalen Wells is an interesting pick, kind of a fun pick, in my opinion. 6'7", 205 pounds, 20 years old still, very young, out of Washington State. He had his first year at Sonoma State. He only played two games there, but in those two games, 19.5 points per game, 57% from three. But he played a full season last year at Washington State after transferring, and he was very good. I have no other way of putting it. Pretty solid on the defensive end, but I believe he started 20 games out of the 34, and that was the back half of the year. And he averaged 12 points per game, about 5 rebounds per game, and 41.7% from three. What do the Grizzlies need? They need shooting. We'll see how he fits in. And even in the tournament last year, in the most pressure-packed games, he was very good. In the first-round game that Washington State played against Drake, 17 points, 9 rebounds, 54% from the field. And then in their loss in the second round against Iowa State, he still had 20 points. He shot too many threes. He was very low percentage there from three. But he still had 20 points and 4 rebounds. So he's a guy who I think could fit in down the line. Now, the problem is, roster crunch, it's coming. Do you want to keep Lamar Stevens? How's that going to look? You're at 15, theoretically, if you had Jalen Wells on this roster. You're going to have to move around the edges to try to make these things all fit together, and I wonder how the Grizzlies go about doing that.
Yeah, and let's be completely honest about Jalen Wells. He is a
potential sniper that the Grizzlies just got. He's just not very good at many other things right now in basketball. He is still raw. He is still a green prospect, but he's young. You know, he's 20 years old. He doesn't have a ton of length, but he is 6'6", which will help you on the perimeter. He shot 42% from three on five a game last year. That is why the Memphis Grizzlies took him. He's a reluctant scorer outside of shooting threes. He has potential on the defensive end. He can be physical, but he's kind of passive there. He's an okay ball handler.
No,
he's 20. He's a very raw prospect. This is, to me, feels like a solid, maybe potential two-way guy for the Memphis Grizzlies. See what he can do. He might be able to light it up from three. We may never see him actually wear a Grizzlies uniform, but I like the chance that they took on him. A comp that he keeps getting is Corey Kispert, and that's the type of guy a lot of Memphis Grizzlies fans like in Corey Kispert. I know there's been some movement to try to go out and get him. Our good friend Sean Coleman is a huge get Corey Kispert guy, but he has a lot of work to do in other areas of the game. But when it comes to three-point shooting specifically, he is damn near elite at it. So if he can just fill out the rest of his game, this is going to turn out to be a very good player for the Grizzlies. But right now, solid pick, good value. I'm totally okay with it.
Now, what did you think about Kleiman last night saying that, you know, with Edie, that's exactly how they wanted it to play out?
I mean, he's not.
I think it was a little bit, disingenuous. And then he also said the disingenuous part of it is when he said, I didn't see any reports saying that we were going to trade up for Donovan Kleiman.
That felt like a.
Buddy, we saw. Was he making a joke? Is he making a funny? I hope he was. He said it with a straight face, though, if you watched it.
Yeah.
Said it with a straight face.
I've spoken to some people who were in the room, and there is belief that maybe he was taking a small shot there.
Yes. So. Yeah. I would hope.
But ultimately, what was he going to come out and say?
Yeah, no, you're going to say that this was always our plan.
Right. And I think he gets away with the technicality here because he didn't necessarily say it was just Zach Edey that was the plan that they wanted. I don't think that they wanted to give up Marcus Smart to go get a big. I think that they headed into the draft and they said, okay, if we can trade up and get Donovan Klingon, we will do that. If we can't do that, we're going to take Zach Edey at number 9. And that's probably what their plan was. So technically, he can say that they stuck to their plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll say this. I know that this is going to be a polarizing pick until we actually see him play. But I have absolutely talked myself into it already. I think that Zach Edey makes sense.
Makes sense.
Was it maybe a little overdrafted? Should he have been a top 10 pick? Not necessarily, but as you saw the pre-draft process play out, you saw him take leaps and strides, and people started to put him in that conversation in the lottery, most notably ESPN NBA draft analyst Jonathan Givony. He had him tabbed as a lottery pick. I know there's other people, Yahoo Sports' Kristen Peek, who says this is one of the worst picks she's ever seen.
She also called him a backcourt player.
But again, it's going to be polarizing. But ultimately, he fills a need for the Grizzlies, so he's going to be cost-controlled. And I think ultimately it makes sense.
If you had to grade it, what would you give it? I was like, it's a B.
It's a B or a B-minus?
B-minus, yeah. I think that's totally fair. That's totally fair. You got to dock him a little bit because Zach Edey did go at number 9. But when you break down the actual fit and what he's going to be doing for the Memphis Grizzlies, it makes sense.
Yeah, and then you also look at last year. The G.G. Jackson pick,
free
and
shot.
Some of these draft grades, they mean a whole lot of nothing.
He got a D plus.
He got a D plus last year.
Yeah. G.G. Jackson. And I do want to point out, we'll have him on at 5:30. But Chip Williams has said that a big criticism of the Grizzlies recently has been positional size. And their last three picks: 6'9" G.G. Jackson, 7'4" Zach Edey, and a 6'8" wing and Jalen Wells.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah, I hear you. Now we will revisit this starting the 5 o'clock hour, but we need to go ahead and transition, grab our first break of the day, and we'll get into the Blitz right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Now, the biggest stories. Overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
And always remember that the Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. Real quick, before we get into the Blitz, something I neglected to mention in the first segment when it has to do with the Grizzlies and Zach Edey and skipping on Dalton Connect. Vol fans, chill the hell out. And I've seen some legit journalists that I do respect in the Vol sort of realm. You know, Wes Rucker is a guy that I respect his reporting. He's works for GoVols 247, and he put, perhaps ironically, the first day my son peed in the potty is the day the Memphis Grizzlies peed on their entire state. Do they not understand how this whole thing works?
Tennessee Grizzlies or Memphis Grizzlies?
Like, in the end of the day, one, Knoxville's 6 hours away.
6 hours.
And two, they're going to draft who they want to draft. It's not like they have spurned the Tennessee Volunteer basketball program in the past. Jarnell Stokes, Kennedy Chandler, Eve Pons was a two-way guy for a while. Like, I don't understand that. It's embarrassing, quite frankly, for them to have these types of takes. And it's goofy. It's very, very goofy. And also, Dalton Knecht, Grizzlies were not the only team to pass up on Dalton Knecht. He ended up at 17 to the damn Lakers. I thought he landed in a good spot. I thought it was a good pick by the Lakers. But the Grizzlies are not the only ones that passed on him, which makes you ask the question, why were people passing on him?
I think is the
outside view of him, the social media view of him, a lot higher than what people thought of his full-on skill set at the NBA level.
I think that Dalton Knecht has a chance to be a very good basketball player.
Love him. I would have been great. If the Grizzlies would have taken him at 9, would have been great.
Would have been perfectly happy. I think the reason he dropped was because of his age, which I just simply don't agree with, but it's because we have a lot of evidence here with the Memphis Grizzlies that players who play a few years in college can be productive in the NBA. Ultimately, though, I think it came down to his defense.
Yeah, but to think that the Grizzlies didn't take Dalton Knecht because he's a Tennessee Volunteer and that they should have picked him because he's a Tennessee Volunteer.
It's a betrayal of the state of Tennessee.
What kind of nonsense
what are we
is
doing?
That? And also, can I ask this question? And I want to be open and honest about this. And you probably know better than me.
All right.
How many people from Knoxville are Grizzlies fans? How many Tennessee
people
fans
who are from Memphis
are Grizzlies fans? The ones that are in, the ones that are in Memphis.
There's
in
definitely
Knoxville?
Some. There's definitely
sure.
Some. It's just,
but it's not like this bit. It's not like this massive fan base that you're waiting to unlock by taking Dalton.
No professional sport should be catering to a college team within their state.
No,
it is crazy to think about it. They freaked out when Will Levis got taken by the Titans. You cannot cater to a college team. The silliest thing I've been seeing about it is they're on the message boards. Oh, their season tickets are going to go. Were y'all driving 6 hours from Knoxville to every home game? What the hell are y'all talking about?
And I don't know. This is just
my
opinion,
too. Enjoy your baseball championship and shut up.
If Ja Morant's healthy, season tickets aren't taking a dip. And also, Zach Edey is 7'4" and like a behemoth of a human being. I think that if you're worried about Dalton Knecht, dropping season ticket sales, I wonder if Zach Edey could help that out at least a tad.
They should still be
huge.
Celebrating their baseball championship.
Yes.
Focus on that.
Why are you so?
The Grizzlies don't owe the University of Tennessee anything.
They might be emboldened a little bit by the College World Series win.
Knecht is probably going to be a really good player. It's not some sin by the Memphis Grizzlies that they took Zach Edey over him. I'm not going to act like the sky is falling. It's crazy.
And the Grizzlies, and also with Dalton Knecht, like it would have been interesting if he was picked by the Grizzlies, which again, I would not have had a problem with that at number 9. It would have been interesting to see how he fits in, because you have Vince Williams Jr., you have G.G. Jackson that you want to throw out there, you have Luke. Like, how would that have all worked out? So I think he landed in a perfect spot for him where he can actually make a hell of a lot of difference in his rookie season.
I am rooting for Dalton Knecht, but the reaction to that was crazy. Okay, from one UT to another, Kansas State transfer wing Arthur Kaluma, who was a Memphis target, has committed to Texas.
No fun. No fun at all.
Zero fun, sir.
Now you're missing David Jones. I still think this team is fine with what they have put together. I think that they're limited in what they can accomplish in an NCAA tournament setting without trying to replace the production of Arthur Kaluma. But now that they don't have this, I think this is the roster that they're going into the season with. P.J. Haggerty, Colby Rogers, Dane Danger, Tyrese Hunter, Tyreek Smith, Musa Cisse, Nick Jordan, Jared Hare. Like, that's what they're running out there in the end of the day. I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of opportunity to add another talent the level of Arthur Kaluma, and that definitely hampers a little bit of what you think they can accomplish in postseason play. That's the main take here. But I think that when you look at Texas and you look at the amount of money that Arthur Kaluma, there was definitely going to be a bidding war, and did you really want to pay him upwards of, $300,000 to $500,000 for a year of service? I don't know if the Tigers wanted to do that when it was all said and done. But the roster that they have right now, that's probably the roster they're going into the season with for the most part. They can add some things around the edges. But Arthur Kaluma, let's not act like it's not a miss. Like, missing out on him definitely is a frustrating reality, because you had to find some level of production replacement from David Jones. If you didn't have that, you'll worry about their upward trajectory in postseason play. Still think this team's good. Still think that Penny Hardaway and the staff has done a good job of identifying defense, bringing in more team players. But missing out on Arthur Kaluma definitely sucks.
Team USA basketball 12-team roster has shown up for training camp, and we have a question answered. Kawhi Leonard is there and will be participating in the Paris Olympics.
So he didn't play. It's not that long ago, by the way. It was not that long ago, the first round of the NBA playoffs. So he missed that series. His team loses in six games, and he turns around and is going to play in Paris.
Well, don't forget, he committed to Team USA during that series. During that series, he was like, I'll be there.
And by the way, he still has an extension that's kicking in for the Clippers. So he's there, 3 years, $160-some-odd million. I find it very on brand. We talked about it at the time, Connor. This is on brand. A guy that won't play in the NBA playoffs because of injury, but he'll get over that injury quickly so he can go play in the Paris Olympics. And I do believe he was injured in the NBA playoffs, and I do believe maybe he has had some runway to rehab that injury, and he'll be okay for the Paris Olympics. But if I'm a Clippers fan, this definitely peeves me. It definitely peeves me.
That part. I have no issue with him playing for Team USA. I'm very happy he will be there. It will help Team USA probably win a gold medal. I understand that it's been a month and a half since the first round happened, so he's had some more time to get healthy. But that's not where I think the issue lies here. If I were a Clippers fan, I'd be like, hey, man, you haven't had a full healthy season a single time here? Maybe take the summer off and see what happens.
Yeah. I think this team is going to they should clean up.
They're going to beat the hell out of people.
They should clean up in international play. Did you see there's some odds on an offshore book? I think it's Bovada, about who will be the highest scoring player on the team. Who do you think it is? Who do you think the Bovada favors right now? Because this interested me at least a tad bit.
Probably Durant?
No. No, Booker? Anthony Edwards is the favorite to be the highest scoring player in international play for the Paris Olympic team. And I can see it. I can see it. And I can see Steve Kerr giving him a pretty substantial role on the offensive end to giving him a lot of runway.
We have also heard that the idea of this specific Team USA team is that it is getting the next generation of Olympic players ready. So maybe the guys there are trying to lift up the young players. We've seen that happen in the past. It certainly happened when LeBron was on that team with Kobe, most notably. He made a huge leap after that. So maybe they're looking at it and saying, hey, we need to lift up Anthony Edwards and Devin Booker and get them ready for the next iteration of Team USA basketball, because it does sound like that this is probably the last go-around, certainly the last go-around for LeBron James, but probably for KD and Kawhi and those guys too.
Yeah, and I also think Anthony Edwards is the favorite to be the highest scoring player on this team. I think Joel Embiid's going to have something. First to go around here with the Team USA.
Same issue with Kawhi, though. Man.
True.
Maybe take the summer.
Yeah, but I think he'll be a pretty high scoring player for this
team. Oh, he'll be great.
I think he'll be really good in international play for them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Gabe, we buried the most important story of the entire game.
Yes,
Memphis was listed as the 19th best offense in the country, according to EA Sports College Football 25. Their overall rank is 85.
So they're tied with Notre Dame, A&M, and SMU in these rankings. And UCF. I don't mind it. I don't mind it. 19th best, but they're an 85 overall. When you look at what they have, though, I think you could have bumped them up a couple of notches there as an offensive team. I think this O-line, I talked to Ryan not too long ago on this show about the offensive line. He says they feel like they're eight deep of guys that could rotate in, and it's going to be a really big, going up into fall camp, it's going to be a lot of competition up front with a lot of guys that have played a lot of ball. So he feels comfortable with the offensive line. But then when you talk about the skill positions, I mean, in the group of five level, really around the country, this is one of the best skill groups in the entire country. Mario Anderson Jr., Sutton Smith in the backfield, Thunder, Lightning, and we'll see what Brandon Thomas can bring as sort of a short yardage type back. Rock Taylor, 1,000-yard receiver. Damir Blankenship, 900-yard receiver. You still have Kobe Drake as a really good slot. Anthony Lanfear, this may be a little bit of a breakout season for him at tight end. He's sort of the next one in line after Caden Prescorn. I think they could have been even. I know they're 19th. I know they're top 20 according to EA Sports College Football 25. But I think they could have been even higher on this rating. I think you probably agree with me too.
I do. I think that we have a bit of Memphis bias, but I would like to see them higher. I also understand that you have chosen Memphis as your dynasty team, so you definitely want them to be better because you want to be able to bury people in online gameplay. I think one thing that we do need to address, though, is the Colorado defensive ranking. They were 77th last year in defense. In their top 10? What are we doing?
What about USC?
What were
even
they?
Even being listed. I think they were top 10 as well. I know they've spent money out there on the open market in NIL trying to bring in transfers, but they just moved off of that A really bad DC, bring in a new one. I guess maybe that's where they're thinking that they'll improve. But I think we've seen it over the years, though, Connor, haven't we? With Lincoln Riley coached offenses, it's hard for a defense to really keep up with that type of pace. They're on the field too much. The offensive ratings, though, what'd you think about, like, the top 10? I thought it was a little bit strange.
Little
Georgia number one.
Why was Ole Miss not in the top 10?
I don't know. I have no idea. They were 13, whatever. But Georgia at number one, I do believe they have the most draft-ready quarterback. I think that Carson Beck could be the number one overall pick going into the NFL draft. But Georgia is very much a defensive team because Kirby Smart, that's the identity they bring. And I don't necessarily think of them as this high-powered offense. That could change going into this year. They also lost Ladd McConkey last year, so we'll see if, you know, I believe it's Oscar Delp who's the next guy sort of in line there. Oregon, I like, is sort of tied for number one there with a 94 rating. That makes sense. Alabama, I know some people are going to have their thoughts about, you know, Jalen Milroe with Kalen DeBoer now, but I've told you I do believe in him because Kalen DeBoer knows how to unload the ball deep. And what does Jalen Milroe do best? Unload the ball deep and use his legs. Let's keep going down here. Ohio State, I thought it should have been higher. They're at number five. They're at 89 overall. Again, I'm not a big believer in Will Howard for the most part, but they have a really good wide receiver group. Jeremiah Smith, the number one wide receiver in this last high school recruiting class, is going on to campus. People really love him. Their backfield is the best in the country. Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. I don't think it's particularly close. And Colorado getting the same rating as Ohio State in this, I understand Shedeur Sanders is great. I understand Travis Hunter is going to make some things happen, especially on the offensive end. He's the best wide receiver, one of the best wide receivers in the country, as well as one of the best cornerbacks in the country. But their O-line, is that not going to be a massive question? I know their offense was solid last year, but they were hindered. They were a one-trick pony. It was Shedeur Sanders airing it out for 400 or 500 yards, and then they couldn't really run the ball very well. So I thought that was a little interesting. And then rounding out the top 10, this is the one that bothered me the most by far. Clemson? Clemson at number 10?
Come on, they have all those transfers, Gabe.
They're transfers from high school. Cade Klubnik has not shown me that he's that guy. And I like Will Shipley's gone now, which was their main source of first and second down production offensively last year. I think that Clemson is severely overrated offensively going into this year.
Yes.
If EA Sports College Football is telling us anything.
Real quick, before we get to a break, I need to mention two things that have happened within NBA circles. One, Shams has gotten locked out of his Twitter account.
Really?
Which is just,
that's,
you know,
beautiful.
That's DEFCON 1 for Shams on draft day. Two, there is a rumor going around that Rich Paul is calling teams and saying, do not draft Bronny. He will play in Australia if you draft him and he can't go to the Lakers. And to that I say, I think those GMs are way ahead of you, Rich. I don't, you know, I'm just going to put it out there. I don't think that they were planning on taking Bronny James and the threat of Australia. Great. Good for you. We all know he's going to go 55 to the Lakers. Can we stop pretending about it? You don't need to call other teams. I don't think anybody out there was like, you know what we should do? Take Bronny James.
The Rich Paul arrogance.
It's crazy. That's Bronny, nuts.
With Bronny this offseason and through this draft process is severely off-putting.
I hate it for Bronny because I think that Bronny has the tools to one day maybe
like
be a player.
Kid.
But you've got to give him time, and all this attention and all this crap that's going around him is not good.
It's unfair to him.
It's not fair to him. I hate this. It's
silly.
What's
up with Rich Paul, man? I know that he's always sort of forced his hand upon franchises, but like, buddy, this is ridiculous.
Well, and Woj went on and said he's trying to make an argument about nepotism.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gabe.
Yeah,
from high school.
They're transfers from high school. Cade Klubnik has not shown me that he's that guy. And I like, Will Shipley's gone now, which was their main source of first and second down production offensively last year. I think that Clemson is severely overrated offensively going into this year.
Yes.
If EA Sports College Football is telling us anything.
Real quick, before we get to a break, I need to mention two things that have happened within NBA circles. One, Shams has gotten locked out of his Twitter account.
Really?
Which is just,
that's,
you know,
beautiful.
That's DEFCON 1 for Shams on draft day. Two, there is a rumor going around that Rich Paul is calling teams and saying, do not draft Bronny. He will play in Australia if you draft him and he can't go to the Lakers. And to that I say, I think those GMs are way ahead of you, Rich. I don't, you know, I'm just going to put it out there. I don't think that they were planning on taking Bronny James and the threat of Australia. Great. Good for you. We all know he's going to go 55 to the Lakers. Can we stop pretending about it? You don't need to call other teams. I don't think anybody out there was like, you know what we should do? Take Bronny James.
The Rich Paul arrogance.
It's crazy. That's Bronny, nuts.
With Bronny this offseason and through this draft process is severely off-putting.
I hate it for Bronny because I think that Bronny has the tools to one day maybe
be a player.
He seems like a
good kid.
But you've got to give him time, and all this attention and all this crap that's going around him is not good.
It's unfair to him.
It's unfair to him. It's not fair to him. I hate this. It's
What's
silly.
Up with Rich Paul, man? I know that he's always sort of forced his hand upon franchises, but like, buddy, this is ridiculous.
Well, and Woj went on and said, he's trying to make an argument about nepotism.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.